Benny.
Rudy.
G'day. Jack.
Hey, what's going on?
As you can tell, we're all here. And I've got a little story to kick us off. Mm. Our good friend Cam, who is absent this evening.
Camera.
Where is Cam? He's probably lining up for grand final tickets. But I saw him Saturday night. We attended the same function.
Right, yeah.
He came up to me and said, is there a coat room here? He was wearing, at a function he knew was going to be really, really busy and indoors, he was wearing the biggest, thickest, like Gore-Tex coat, like George Seinfeld.
Puffy man.
He looked like the Michelin man. Is there a coat room here? And he gave it to me. So I go up and put it somewhere I knew it would be safe. It was the heaviest, thickest. And he was just walking around like I've never seen.
It actually was
George Seinfeld in that Gore-Tex jacket.
Oh, my God.
Camera.
Incredible.
Jesus. And where is he now? Still,
I haven't
still
seen
trying
him
to find
since. Although jacket. I did see him rummaging through the room I put it in to get it back.
Yeah, I bet.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Welcome everybody to the grand final episode of the Magoos podcast. We've got a full book tonight, so much to get through. Ben, you're here as always.
Yep.
Our producer Jack is here. Only comes in for the big shows.
Only the big shows.
And of course, Triple M Footy's own and one of our favourite sons, Rudy's back. How are you, Rudy?
I am reasonably flat after the weekend, but good as well.
Excellent. Always good to start the show on a positive note.
It is.
But you don't get much positivity out of me.
Well,
that's what I like about you, Rudy.
Where we want to start with you, Rudy, you've obviously come straight from the Brownlow medal last night where you were donning the red carpet in style. And I think the question that we all want answered here is who was the best dressed in your opinion?
Who's the best dressed? The women or the men?
You just tell me who the best dressed
was.
Yeah. I really liked Josh Kennedy's wife's dress. It was extremely extra. It looked like she was wearing a yellow cloud, and I rate that.
Yeah, nice. You like yellow clouds?
It was nothing like, I mean, you don't really have the old days of like Tanya Buckley's like weird G-string thing and Chris Judd. You know what I mean? You just don't get
Chris
that.
Judd was wearing
Brynn Edelstein.
Yeah.
Always a fan favourite.
What did you make of your boy Danger's? He was wearing a bit of the red carpet on himself there.
Looked
what
like
did you think
he,
of that?
Looked like he thought he might have got a bit more TV time than he did.
Yeah, that puts a smile on my face, Jake.
Well, I can't understand the hate for Patrick Dangerfield. It still doesn't jerry with me. Like I can't cop it.
I
don't care for Geelong one.
No,
just to,
but know, I think when you fangirl, you do tend to have the goggles on a little bit.
You've got the reverse goggles, so you've got that.
Damn right, I have the reverse goggles.
People were piling into him on Twitter and stuff, and I just
That's just Patty, isn't it? He's like very sure of himself and puts himself out there. And I think that if you do that,
it's all poppy syndrome.
Yeah, if you do that in Aussie culture, you're probably gonna get whacked.
Yeah,
I'm with you though, Jake. I obviously love him.
Yeah, but he's the only one that sort of does this to me. It's not. I don't do it to other people, so I wouldn't say I've got the tall poppy. But
I'd say that you're everything that's wrong with society.
Okay. Yeah. I stand on the wrong side of history. All right.
Yeah. I guess aside from the Brownlow, which we know that Nat Fyfe won in a controversial count that probably should have been won by A. Patrick. We saw two
that A. Patrick.
We saw two preliminary finals over the weekend, which resulted in the grand final matchup being Richmond and the GWS Giants, Benjamin. And you and I both tipped that result last week on the show.
We did. Who'd now, that doesn't really say much because I was sitting on two tips going into that for the final. So
just have to be tipping well at the right time.
At the right time, just like the players. Yeah, tipping well at the right time. But I'm pretty happy with the turnout. I reckon it's going to be an amazing game, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
With
obviously
a couple of special guests.
Yes. But Rudy, obviously we've got you here. You are a massive Geelong supporter. How did you feel Friday night went?
I thought Geelong cooked it, to be honest. After half time, it was obviously Richmond were going to come and they just couldn't hang really. Fair play to Richmond. They're probably the better footy team and were better on the night. But you get 21 points up in a prelim. You got to make a granny from there, especially when you're like you're right there as Geelong. How many prelims have they lost? How many times have they been there? You know.
Yeah.
And they're like these blokes all played loads of finals. They know what they need to do, and it was the same story, man. As soon as the pressure comes, the skills fall apart.
Yeah, after they kicked that goal after halftime, I just sort of knew it was.
Yeah.
It was like we're a different in a game lot of trouble. Yeah,
absolutely a different.
It was just a couple of like you can't even call them lucky taps over the back from Richmond anymore. It's just their game style, and there was just a couple that just went straight into a Richmond player's path, and then straight into the 50 goal. It just looked like Geelong couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And the Mark Blixar's on the wing things, obviously. Chris Scott, he has a history of big moves in finals that really fall extraordinarily flat.
Yeah.
The 10 touches from Mark Blixar's. Were they more handy than having your best key defender or your best key forward?
Yeah.
From minute one of the game, Tom Lynch looked like the best player, like the most dangerous bloke in it.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's just always going to take big contested clunks. Always.
Always.
But still, I don't know, it looked weird for... Harry Taylor looks a million years old.
Yeah,
he did the week before, but he's handy in that, like, Josh Kennedy looks a billion years old.
Yes.
And I just, it just feels like the whole, it sort of felt like this year, it felt like the Cats had sort of, were going to properly come good, and this was the year where it sort of clicked. And it's just the same thing, blown apart in sort of two quarters across two finals.
It was just like after round 12, we knew that we were going to make
script
finals.
Was written, wasn't it? Yeah.
So it was just like, get yourself right for the first final.
I've developed a couple of theories on Chris Scott over this year. He's a real good coach, but needs the lead up of the pre-season and stuff to set the game plan out.
Yeah.
Once they get figured out, it's real hard for him to make tweaks to get it back, to get it back on track. Maybe not stubbornness, just not that agile, I suppose. And then also I think that he'd gotten so used to having a crap bottom half of the 22 that he's just gotten used to having to use the good players to fill holes. That's why Mark Blixarves has gone to the wing, because if Mitch Duncan's gone down, who's our next best runner? Oh, it's Mark Blixarves. We'll get, someone else to fill his role because, you know what I mean? I just think that he's he just needs to be a little bit more light in his feet when it comes to things.
So when does the death knot come for him?
Well, not after we finish top and make the prelim. But
I can understand that, but for how long does the same thing happen without something changing?
Yeah, it's a question I've been asking myself a little bit. It's, I don't know, I feel like they've given him every advantage with the blokes around him as well, but then maybe it's time for a touch-up there, because that's what's happened with Buckley and Dimmer over the years, isn't it? They've sort of changed the dynamics around him. But he's also had 9 years with this list, and they keep losing the finals in the same way. Maybe it's like a Brad Scott North Melbourne style conscious uncoupling next year or two, but it's too hard to sack him now. To answer your question, I don't know.
Neither do I. So. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you
that's all we've got time for.
The fans want Matty Scarlett. I can tell you that. The fans are well sick of Chris Scott. You would have felt that in all the fan groups and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they kind of come out and say different things too every now and then too, the two of those guys. So like Scarlett, I think he came out last week. I can't remember what it was, but he said something that was contradicted a day later by Chris Scott. So
he said something like, I'd prefer to play all my finals at the MCG in front of 90,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's where it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the right answer the home and away question.
Yeah, no, definitely. It does it not help from a supporter point of view that he does come out the next day and double down on the move that he made, like saying it was I'd do it again. So then it sort of questions if it didn't work, what do they say? What's the saying that?
Well, I don't think it's not so much that he doubles down as that he doesn't explain. He goes, we thought it was the right call and we stick by it. But why? We thought it was the right call.
What led you to that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of comes across. Like Geelong's effectively become a meme this year. I don't know if, it's like we've always sort of been like, ever since they got good, it's like, yeah, that's fine. People start hating you. But this year it's become like a joke. I feel like Geelong have been a joke for the second
Geelong
half of the year.
Lol.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it sort of all feeds into that, because like Chris Scott, he's going to give a prickly answer after the game that doesn't give the other team any credit, and it just all becomes like literally just, yeah, a piss take.
I think someone asked him a question in the press conference and he answered straight away. It was like, what did you say to the boys after the game, like with a loss like that? And he just goes, that's private.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah. I just wouldn't mind a bit.
It's not going to win any friends.
I just wouldn't mind a bit of like transparency. You know, or just like a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know how Buckley is so like gracious all the time? Just a bit of humility.
Yeah.
A bit of graciousness sometimes. Yeah.
I think that sometimes in that sort of thing, you know, and I guess that comes from dealing with media for a long time, is that they think that sometimes I think the media are just the extension of the fans and they're asking the question that they know the fans would want to hear, like, what did you say to the boys? And, yeah, it might be private, but that doesn't mean that every single thing you said to them, if it got out, would be harmful to your club or to moving forward. Like, that's the question that the fan, if someone said, oh, Carlton just lost a final and whoever our coach is now, David Teague, had the boys in had the boys in a room for 15 minutes, I'd be like, gee, I'd love to know what he said to them, just an insight into that. And then as soon as you bristle, you know, you just don't, you know, just doesn't endear himself, does it?
And from a business perspective as well, if you're a member of that club, you actually do to some degree deserve some sort of transparency, as you said.
Yeah.
Like, you need more than like, no one will get why we've done this. It's like, well, you can explain it. You're allowed to explain a little bit.
And on the media thing as well, they've got effectively like a state, you know, like a state arm of the media down there in the Geelong Advertiser. They should know how to really communicate with the fans.
So that's the Cats.
Sorry.
I got one more thing. Did you guys hear about some Cats supporters, the real diehards, got a hold of Chris Scott's personal email?
Oh, no. Oh,
I wish I hadn't heard this.
And apparently it's been circling around the real diehards and they've been sending like really crude messages to his personal email to the point where I believe it's like just way out of hand.
Yeah. Mind you,
it was definitely Catman.
I could not condone that less. That is awful.
That was the actual email address. It was Catman and Gmail.
Well, so there's one of the teams that are no longer playing.
We don't have time for the
very relevant sort of setup.
So the result of that is that Richmond have marched into another grand final.
Yeah.
And our only saving grace is now with GWS Giants for the non-Richmond fans out there. I saw in the Herald Sun Sunday morning it said that Richmond carry the hopes of a state.
Of a state.
Which couldn't be any less correct.
No, no way.
They don't represent anyone.
No. Except no, and they got slammed
actually
hard.
I'm a member, so I do technically. But, so the Tigers will face the Giants, and the Giants won in what was, you know, probably one of the most famous preliminary final wins of all time, up there when the Baggers knocked off the Bombers in 99. It was just a remarkable.
People quickly forget that Collingwood's upset last year as well on
the Dogs
on Richmond.
And GWS in 2016.
Yeah, that was huge as well. There is quite a number of them.
Yeah,
before we go all the way back to 99.
I think the 99 prelims on top of that pile, and this one I think is as close to.
I reckon you're right. To me, it's number two in the ones.
That last 4 minutes was just.
It was incredible.
It was mayhem, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
was, how good was Mummy dancing around in his own goal? Yeah. Collingwood goals, great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Incredible, on Pendlebury, just everything about it was, yeah. Good on him. We've been on GWS for a few weeks. Like, they're starting to string some very good games together. Jeez, I don't know.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. Richmond certainly don't carry the hopes of a state.
No, GWS. Let's get one thing straight. Hey, what editor could get? You're in that sort of world. Surely this is a little bit of a dip into the clickbait for the Herald Sun for putting that rubbish out there.
I don't know. I'm not sure who they're talking to be honest. I don't think that. Yeah. Maybe they just want a Melbourne team to win to sell more papers and stuff, I guess.
Well, there's always a
bias. If you think about it, like once after a grand final win, there's all these great stories that come out and people want to read them. Like, you know, Dale Morris playing with a broken back, for example, and stuff. Like, there's a voracious appetite for that kind of stuff after any granny that any team wins. I just don't think they'll quite be there with GWS. Mm. Like, even the blokes that are good stories, like Cornelio and Green and stuff, that they sort of don't feel like. People won't necessarily be, and people won't be like, oh, I really want to read about, you know, Toby Green overcoming the adversity of getting suspended for a prelim. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Doing the same thing you did the week before.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not quite the same. Like the storylines maybe aren't as compelling for a parochial Melbourne newspaper.
Yeah.
That's a fair call.
That's a fair call. But you do often hear, you know, mums over the age of 50 saying, I just want to keep it in Victoria.
Yeah.
It's like, well, where does that come from? No, you don't. No, you don't. If Essendon's not in that grand final, I don't want the Victorian team to win it.
Yeah, yeah. The further it gets away, the better.
Yeah.
I just send it to Fiji with Joffa. Yeah. I thought GWS are really soft for a couple of years. I've been like, they're soft.
Mm.
Even this year, you know, there's like that game against Hawthorn in the snow. It's like, you know, they don't like it when it's remotely hard. But my God. Yeah. How hard have they been the last few weeks?
It's hard to sort of comprehend that people were thinking that Leon Cameron could be on the chopping block. Like, they've gotten to now. It felt like they
underachieved right up to the start of the finals. Like they finished sixth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, how can they finish sixth?
Well, I think Doggies were even favourites in that game.
Were they?
Or it was
they
definitely very close.
It was kind of taken as read that they'd win, and then everyone sort of...
Yeah,
just silently
people going into GWS, saying, geez, you'd want to play Essendon or GWS if come round one. And no, you don't.
Turns out you don't.
Well, for one of them, they were definitely right. And
especially if you're Marcus Bontempelli.
Again.
As we said, we will delve into each of the remaining teams and their chances a little bit later with a couple of special guests.
Mm.
So Nat Fyfe took out the Brownlow. As we said, Rudy was there, and our two-time winner. What did you make of his I've forgotten what word I was going to use then, but moving into that like two-time Brownlow medal winner, stepping up into the elite.
All-Australian captain.
It's very...
well, it's sort of fitting now, isn't it? He did get criticised for being the All-Australian captain. Now he's won a Brownlow just to...
He's getting criticised for the Brownlow.
Yeah, you can't win. Not when you play for Fremantle, I think you can't really win. I think they always say it, but if you played for a Victorian club, he'd already be in that sort of Hall of Fame chat, I reckon. He's an absolute superstar. There's no doubt about that. I didn't have him winning it for mine, but I didn't watch enough Fremantle
games. Who did you have winning it?
To be honest with you, I thought my theory with the Brownlow is if someone who comes out of nowhere one year and everyone gets a bit of hype around them, they don't win it, they tend to poll better the next year. So for that reason, I had Brody Grundy winning it.
Right. Yep.
But I think they've proven that a ruckman will never win this award.
What do they have to do? They have to split the atom or something, aren't they? To win it?
Like. That man has had an unbelievable season in a winning team and just couldn't get it done. But you weren't talking about Grundy, you were talking about Fyfe. But still well deserved, yeah. What did you guys think?
Again, as I said before, I thought one of the Patricks would win it. And when Cripps exploded out of the blocks, I thought, well, here we go.
13 then, after five rounds. No one's done that before.
Yeah.
And then I thought that Patrick Dangerfield was... I didn't think Fyfe would be that far ahead. I thought Danger might get a few more votes. But, Fyfe was just too hard to catch, wasn't he?
Mm. Mate, almost a perfect storm for Fyfe in some ways. Like he was never going to have anyone nick votes off him. He polls when they lose, apparently by five goals sometimes.
Yeah.
And also, they were sort of good enough. You know, they're around the mark for enough of the year.
Mm.
And he's a proven vote getter. I think he averages more than a vote a game now, which is insane.
It's remarkable, isn't it? It's absolutely remarkable.
That is.
Well, how about we delve into this AFL Grand Final and we'll grab a couple of special guests on and we'll talk through all things Richmond and all things GWS.
Let's do it.
Boys, we're back here now. As we said, we've got a couple of special guests lined up for this week's show to help us preview the AFL Grand Final and learn a little bit more about the clubs that are involved. And we're going to start off with a Richmond legend, 144 games, 33 goals. Joining us on the line now is Scott Turner. Scott, welcome to the Magoos.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good, Scott. Good, good.
We're going well here. Ed, how are you feeling about this weekend? The Tigers back in the big dance.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great excitement for the guys, and obviously doing it a couple of years ago was one that topped it off really. So I just hope the boys carry on again this week and bring their big show to the game on Saturday.
So, just looking at your career, first of all, you picked up in the mid-season draft way back when, back in the '90s. How did that?
Yeah.
How, given that now we've seen the mid-season draft come back in, how did that differ, you think, to the experience of, say, like a Marlon Pickett this year with the mid-season draft?
Like, I've been obviously been a fan of it because what I've sort of went through back in 1990, so I think it's just a great opportunity for guys that have, like myself, I'd been to Collingwood and Melbourne before I turned 20, 21, really, so it just gives the guys opportunities that may have missed out on the TAC or may have had injuries when they're younger. And then also the guys that are like their mid-20s playing good football in the bush or in interstate.
Yeah, excellent. So when I was, you know, all of us here were born in the 90s and we're a little bit, you know, sort of I guess, missed your heyday of your career. And I went back and did a little bit of digging and spoke to a good Richmond friend of mine who I'm not sure if this was your cult nickname or not, but calls you Shutdown Scotty Turner. And he recalled fondly the semi-final against Essendon in 95, which was a good year for me as well because I go for Carlton. So, but he spoke about the swingman aspect of your game, how you were, you know, such a good lockdown back when obviously, and then went forward that day and turned the game on its head. What are your memories of that final? And I mean, being Essendon and Richmond too must have just been massive.
Yeah, it was. Like, we were lucky losers in the early part of the finals, and then we ended up making it to the prelim the semi against Essendon, playing in front of 90,000 people on a beautiful spring day. So it was nothing better, but we weren't playing too good a footy like the first half, and then all these sort of Wenger come through, Tony Free, who was in the coach's box at the time, threw my name out, even end up going forward in that third quarter and kicking a couple of goals and having a great win for the team. But you look at the following week, we got smashed out of Geelong, out of Waverley by Geelong, 1 week out of the grand final.
And with your own career, it sort of came to a bit of an early end, and it retired at the age of 29. What was the story behind the early retirement?
Yeah, so 95, I think it was, might have been the last game or towards the end of the season, I just injured, well, ran on my knee, awkward. And then after the 95 finals, I had an operation under when they just found cysts growing sort of under the kneecap, under the patellar tendon. And then over the sort of those last four or five years, I ended up having about six operations, and the surgeon more or less said, that's it for you. I could do a graft on my hip and put it in there, and then I wouldn't be able to play contact sports. So, I just packed up the boots and headed down to Warrnambool. So, ended up going there for a few years and coaching and playing in a couple of flags, and then ended up being there back an hour out now for the past, what is it, nearly 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. And so, looking forward to this weekend, obviously GWS sort of come in riding all the emotion of, you know, playing back-to-back-to-back and, you know, coming all the way through, whereas Richmond have sort of gone, I guess, that more traditional route of making the top four straight through to a prelim. What do you think, you know, putting your coach's hat on, how does the momentum of playing continuous footy differ, I guess, to taking a more traditional route of having the rest and then getting back up and doing it again in a prelim final?
Yeah, I don't think there's much in it these days. The guys recover well and they know how to do it. The coaching staff look after them and medical staff. So I know the Giants are carrying a few injuries at the moment, but they've got those two or three good players that could come back in, which may upset their team balance a bit. But and then you look at the Tigers, who are obviously announced that Graham's out at the moment, so it's just disappointing for him. But the Tigers have got some good depth, as the VFL showed last weekend. And I think, the wash-up of all of it, Tigers on a fresh legs on their home ground in front of 90,000 plus Tigers will be helpful for them. But the Giants, they're not going to be easy beats, that's for sure. They're playing some good footy. They've got Jeremy Cameron up forward. They've got their captain down the back line. They've just got a good mix through the whole ground. So it's going to be a cracker of a game. The weather looks all right, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker of a game, Scott. What did you reckon, considering, you know, back in when you were playing and the Tigers obviously, you know, hadn't had the best recent history up until the last couple of years, how does that feel as, you know, a supporter looking in now, seeing they're finally getting the wheels together and they've, you know, they obviously won it in 2017 and they're looking at they're potentially winning a second one this year?
Yeah, that's great. As I said, the 2017 was just amazing. Like, I went down there with my son to the parade and then the game day itself, just having a few beers around the local pubs in Richmond, and then we end up getting into the rooms after the game, which was just amazing for myself as well as my young bloke. So it was just a dream come true. Like, I've only really followed Tigers since I played there, since 1991. And just the hard work that everyone puts in, like Teddy Soderbaum, our property steward from when I was there, he's been there for over 50 years or so at this time. So it's just amazing for the amount of work that those guys do, as well as your Benny Gales and Penny O'Neills. The amount of work they do, the office staff, there's over 100 staff there, and it's just amazing what they can do for the club as well as the players on the park.
You mentioned Jack Graham before. Who do you reckon's going to come in for him? Do you reckon they'll roll the dice on Marlon Pickett after the best on in the VFL, Granny?
It would be a dream. It would be great to see Pickett come in. I think they'll play Ross. Ross had a pretty good year for us, and they rested him last weekend, which was probably up just to keep him up the sleeve just in case it happened. So it'd be great to see Pickett come in and play his first game, but I'm not sure what they'll do. I think Ross will get the nod at the moment. And then you've got McIntosh, who's obviously can play tall as well as use his speed and skill from the wing.
Will you be coming down again? Does the club still sort you out? As a life member,
we get offered tickets and we surely snap them up, and my young bloke will come down with me again this year, and so we'll come down Friday, have a look at the parade again, I suppose, and have a venture around to a couple of local pubs in Richmond throughout the afternoon and night, and freshen up for the Saturday, which will be hopefully another big day for us.
And do it all again on the Saturday night and...
Yeah.
If it's a win, maybe even the Sunday and the Sunday night.
I saw you're a Geelong fan growing up. Is there any bit of sweetness about knocking them off last week, or are you pretty happy?
Nah, very happy. Like the whole family's born in Geelong, so it was, except until I started playing at Richmond. But my two older brothers, they're still Geelong. I certainly gave them a call after the game last Friday night, but still haven't had a return phone call, so... I've always got a bit of soft spot to the Cats, and the old saying was, I used to bag for Richmond during the year, and Geelong in the finals have been out, turned around a bit that way.
And so, just a final word from you, Scott, before we let you go. Can you give us a tip for the margin and also for the Norm Smith medal for the big game this Saturday?
Yeah, I've already sort of been through that. I'll probably go Tigers at least 4 goals, and I'll go Edwards to...
the Norm Smith.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes,
I like
real
that.
Sneaky.
Yeah, that's a double figure odds, that one. That we might have to sneak a couple on that,
Responsibly.
All right, Scott. Well, thank you very much for being so generous with your time and having a chat to us on the Magoos in the lead up to what could be another huge weekend for the Richmond Footy Club. So we greatly appreciate your time.
No worries, guys. All the best.
Thanks, Scott.
Benny boy, we've heard from Richmond great Scott Turner. It's now time to delve into the GWS camp, and we've got one of the great friends of the show and podcast extraordinaire himself, Dylan Buckley, on the line, current GWS player who is going to take us into their camp and let us know how the boys are feeling. Dylan, welcome back to the Magoos.
Boys, fantastic to be back. You know, I love the show, massive fan, and thanks for the call up.
Thanks, Dylan. You always have been a big fan. As are we of your show. We couldn't call you to a little bit later tonight, given that you're so busy just packing merch, doing everything, basically. So how's the show going there? It seems to be doing well.
Mate, the show's going well. If you have a look at the charts, it's pretty easy to see it, mate. It's at number one. So, you could say it's going pretty well at the moment.
Beautiful. Expect 3 new viewers after this airs, all right? So well done.
Thanks, boys.
So, Dil, talk to us about how the boys are feeling. They must just be pinching themselves to be preparing for the club's first AFL Grand Final.
Mate, it's absolutely incredible, to be honest. I'm pinching myself as well, and even though I'm not even playing, I'm just so happy to be a part of it. It's one of those things, I suppose, you know, every league, every player wants to play in a premiership, and I've been in the system for 8 years, and obviously at Carlton for 6 of them, and you know, I think of blokes like Cade Simpson, he's played 16 seasons and he's played 2 finals, and now, you know, these boys are a bit, you know, the Giants are about to run out and get it done, and yeah, hopefully, no, I think we'll take home the win, but it is really just pinching yourself, mate, and like, just to be honest, I'm just absolutely ecstatic to be a part of it.
Awesome. Well, you can see from the outside looking in, Dylan, you can like I follow you on Instagram, I follow a couple of the boys there. It looks like there is just a genuine camaraderie going on and just a really great feel at the club. Like, is it just like, obviously from your perspective, is that something you guys really, you know, cherish at the club?
Mate, you're right. It's honestly the best bunch of blokes I've ever met in my life. Like, it's definitely a bit of a brotherhood there, and I think that's why the boys are so good. You know, we're all at a similar age, and 90% of us have moved from interstate and living in a state where we don't know many people. So obviously you're forced to hang out with each other. But yeah, from the captains and Phil and Wardy to the first year players, like there's no pecking order or anything. It's just a great place to be. And you'll mainly find us at Bondi or at Bronte on most days, just at the beach after training. And yeah, it's just an incredible place. And that's why I really just want to get the win on the weekend, so we can definitely have some reunions. And I'll be tagging along even on my plane.
You mentioned Bondi. Do you get out to Western Sydney much? Or do you all live in Sydney?
Absolutely beautiful out in Western Sydney, mate. It's absolutely gorgeous. I've had the pleasure of going out to Western Sydney a few times. We obviously do a lot of clinics out there, and it's quite funny, you know. Like, you go out there, and as soon as you bring out the footies, these blokes just start like throwing the balls back at you and asking if you play for Penrith. it's definitely a shock. It's definitely a bit different when I first got there. Like, obviously being at Carlton, you rock up to these primary schools and the kids, you know, they know what stats you had on the weekend. And for me, that probably wasn't a good thing. But up here, it's awesome. You know, they come up here and they're just happy to have some fun, which is great. But the game's definitely growing up here.
Awesome. Awesome. That's good to hear. If we walk through just the final series that's been so far, I mean, we touched on it before, just before we spoke to you about, just in the first elimination final, like, I think you guys were just favourites over the Doggies. So, like, that, like, going from there till, you know, not just only being in a grand final, but a lot of people are starting to really back yous in, you know, like, you can really test Richmond. So how do you feel the last month's gone with the lads?
Yeah, I'm a bit biased, mate. I've seen what we can do, and I know how good the boys are because I get to see them every day. And it's funny, like, when I come from a team that didn't really win a lot of games, and then you come from a team that does, it's sort of, I've got good perspective. And sometimes I have to shake them and be like, mate, like, we're killing it. Like, just relax. Like, it's all going well. So I just knew that as soon as I knew that if we could win the first final against the Dogs, because they were in some massive form. And to be honest, like, my biggest thing with finals that I sort of say is, like, I don't really read too much into, you know, where the ladder is. I just think it's all about form, and the most informed team's going to win the finals. Like, you saw the Dogs do it in 2016, and I said, you know, the three best teams, probably going in form going into the finals were us, the Bulldogs and the Lions. So I said, if we can get that first game done, I reckon we're going to go all the way straight away. And I quoted the boys. I said, let's just win this first one, and then we're on the roll. So you could say I had a massive play in getting this to the grand final.
From the outside looking in, it kind of looks like the club's really fostering a bit of a, like, a siege mentality, like a bit of a real us against them, like, back to the wall thing. Is that the feeling inside the group? Are you sort of trying to really, really stick it up them as like Amon Buchanan on the final siren?
Yeah, I think, look, mate, it's not really spoken about or anything, but look, I think it sort of is a bit of a, like, we're like a young team that's coming to the AFL, and obviously not the biggest supporter base. So it is, you sort of love that us versus them mentality. And I think that it's obviously working very well for us at the moment. And yeah, I think we've won a lot of supporters on the way. So it's sort of got a bit of a following now in Melbourne. And look, to be honest, the boys, like, people always say, like, oh, they're like, the boys play rough, but that they're just so tough, like, these blokes we've got. These guys like Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto, I'm telling you now, if they were playing in Melbourne, they'd be the Paddy Cripps and Jack Viney and alike. They're two of the toughest blokes I've ever seen play the game. And, you know, Josh Kelly and all these guys get the accolades because they're superstars, but Hopper and Tim Taranto have probably carried the boys most of the year.
It's interesting, Dil, just to, I guess, sort of talk to your experience about, you know, this week. And, you know, there's in all footy clubs, there's different stories and different experiences and, you know, bringing to this point, you know, in your own club alone, you've got Callum Ward, who's out with his knee and co-captain of the club, you know, Brett Deledio, who's, you know, one of the most famed stories of disappointment of recent times. How's the build-up for you personally? Obviously, all your best mates are playing in this game. And so how important is your role, I guess, in this week, do you see?
Mate, I've got a huge role. I'm the spiritual leader of the group. I think that, you know, people in the outside world, you know, you sort of think, well, if you're not playing, you don't have an impact. But I don't underestimate my impact at all, mate. Like, just being myself and being around the club, just getting around everyone, getting them in a good mood. Like, I literally just walk around like this week and just telling blokes how good they look and, like, you know, that, geez, they're moving well and far out. Like, I had a dream that they had 30 and kicked 2. And, you know, I sort of joke around, but, like, I know that that helps because if someone said that to me, like, you just sort of walk a bit taller. So, yeah, I'm trying to be the best teammate possible, to be honest. And I'm flying down with the boys on Thursday because I'm doing the AFL Grand Final sprint. Nice. And that's coming down just to hang out with the boys for the first 2 days. And, yeah, just sort of relax them because I think, like, not that anyone's really stressing, but it's good just to keep normal and that's what we do.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. No, I love it. Do you think that potentially with the way you're going about it when you're not playing, that, you know, after you've packed up and you're not playing anymore, if there's potentially that sort of role will come to fruition in a different club? Like, do you think, like, I think clubs are starting to look more down that sort of that awareness of people, you know, yeah, you're just getting people in the good spirits and stuff like that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes it's hard to find good blokes in a footy club. Like, I'm not really doing too much, to be honest. It's just sort of hanging out and being a good guy. That was a joke, by the way, so you can laugh. But, no, it is good. I don't think that I will, like, straight away, when my footy finishes, I'm not sort of seeking that opportunity out, but it's definitely something I wouldn't say no to. So, you know, I just love being in a footy club, mate. You guys know what it's like going to the footy club after work, and it's just such a release. And yeah, it is something I'll definitely miss when I'm finished. But yeah, as you said, mate, that sort of mentoring and
the well-being sort of side of things.
The well-being sort of roles. Yeah, something that's obviously is interesting. I feel like my career, I've had some ups and I've had a lot of downs, so I've always got a lot of stories to share with people and a lot of experience to help out with, because a lot of these guys have played 200 games. Like, they play 200 games and not much goes wrong. You know, I've been on a list for 8 years and played 41 games. It's actually quite hard to do, to be honest. A lot of people don't last that long if you're not playing every week.
Definitely. I reckon that's great that you've got that perspective that you can sort of look back on and sort of cheer up these guys who have played so many games. But just touching on, you did say that you're going to be in the AFL sprint at half time at the game. Any big contenders in that one? Any threats, you reckon?
Mate, I don't know. I'm not aware of anyone else who's in it as yet. But I'm giving it a red hot crack. I'm setting the tone for the boys for the day. So I'm gonna be giving it a crack. I don't think I'll win, but
you're gonna give it a crack.
Yeah. Give it a crack. All right, Dil, we'll make sure you pass on all our very best to all the boys up there. I'm sure that they all
will, mate. They'll be listening in and they'll be very keen to hear this episode, I'm sure. Yeah.
And let me know where if Jeremy Cameron's lying around anywhere. I might just drop my wallet in front of him and just
I will, mate. He's got plenty of cash to give around.
Fantastic, Dil. Well, good luck to the entire footy club this weekend, and I mean, on behalf of all of us here, I think we're all unanimous in hoping that the GWS Giants can take the chocolates home. So thanks again for your time on the Magoos and for the ongoing support, and good luck with everything at your end.
No worries, boys. Love it. Love the show. Love the grand final edition, and go Giants.
Thanks, Dylan.
See you, boys.
Benny, for our last segment for the season, I'm not going to say the year because we did a summer edition last year.
Yeah.
But for the foreseeable future, the last segment we've put in the hands of our good friend over there, Jack.
G'day, boys. Nice to be back. It's great to have you back. First segment.
Just keep talking over each other.
Thanks for coming back.
It's time for Jack's Little Dingers.
Is this the second edition of Jack's Little Dingers? Because I know Sam did one last week, but are they Sam's Little Dingers, or was he doing like an emulation?
They called them medium dingers or something.
Yeah, it was just. Yeah, I don't think he went down the little path.
Sorry, what he asked very long-winded questions, and it wasn't very.
Well, you know what he's like. You know what he can be like. He can get off on tangents, just like now.
Just like now. Just like now.
All right, let's just jump straight into radio.
Do you understand why they're called Jack's Little Dingers?
I've no idea.
Well, no one else does now either. If Rudy doesn't.
I'll give you a quick little explanation.
I've missed a couple of episodes because of the stuff. But yeah,
you wouldn't let every medium on.
It used to be called Three Man Weave. Well, I'm pretty sure.
In the way. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No one listens to many episodes. But Jack's Little Dingers, I just grab a topic, chuck it up, like a baseball.
Right.
And you boys come in like a baseballer and just hit the little dingers. Like that, you're just hitting home runs the whole time.
Here we go.
Straight into the stands. All right. Razor Ray to umpire the grand final. What are your thoughts? Ben, I actually want to start with you because you have notes for days.
When I first heard it, I was a little bit like, oh, yeah, can't give it to a bloke who can't bounce the thing because he can't. He genuinely can't. But I actually, reading up on Twitter, I like it. Do you know why? Because when it was announced, you watch comments from both sides of the spectrum. There was GWS fans saying, well, you may as well give it to Richmond then. And there was Richmond fans saying, well, you may as well give it to GWS fans.
Yeah, if they'll do anything to get Richmond a flag. Yeah, if they'll do anything to get GWS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone doesn't like the umpires.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, the three blokes they rolled out, I don't know, like I reckon you could roll out any three umpires and there'd be sets of fans that hate them and think that they're this and think that they're that. So as long as old mate Ray doesn't let the occasion get to him, which he certainly will. And, then, you know, it should be fun.
I'm pretty sure the players like him, Ray.
They do. It was on Dylan's podcast.
I was going to say, I know that our good friend Dylan does. And I guess that they are human, aren't they? But I think that in finals footy, you just need to, you know, when you umpire the best, you're not being noticed. And I think that sometimes they just get carried away with trying to insert themselves. So let's hope that it's a good, clean, umpired game.
Yeah. Well, if you're a fan, if you're a non-biased fan on the weekend and you don't like that he's included, you could make a bit of fun out of it. Maybe a Razor Ray drinking game, you know, every time he brings a ball back after a bad bounce, have a drink or, you know, whatever you're doing, you might not be drinking. But, you know, if any time there's a bit of a me call, have a drink.
Mm-hmm. If you call
someone by their nickname, have a drink. Just have a bit of fun with it.
That's,
I like it. That's all. Smart. They put the amp mics down for the game.
Do they?
Probably. No, they won't. Never do. But
it's always the best umpire game of the year. The granny. Always. Every year.
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah. Jack's Little Dingers is all about segues, but I've got no segue for this one. So Willy Rioli just come to light that he's being caught. Obviously tampering with his urine sample, and now he's been caught for
smoking the reefer,
the marijuana,
the devil's lettuce.
And he's looking at a very healthy sentence. What are our thoughts on that, boys?
Poor Willy.
I think we touched on it a few weeks ago.
Silly Willy Rioli.
I think it's not the worst thing you can do in the world. It's still banned, so
he just obviously hasn't thought through the whole process, has he? Because I think that it's like a 3 to 4 month sentence for testing positive to the amount of cannabis that he had in his system. But what now becomes far more clear is that his ability or his want to tamper with his initial sample was not an accident. It was trying to hide something. That's the optics of it all. So I think that means they'll come down quite hard on him with that, which probably means 4 years and 3 months.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't 3 months.
Well, for testing positive to what he did.
Surely I'll let him serve those concurrently. I don't really have a problem with athletes smoking weed, but I do have a pretty big problem with them tampering with urine samples. I think that's pretty fair.
We can agree with that, yeah.
That's fair. Just been reported by Scott Morrison's son, Tom Morrison, that...
Different last names.
That's almost slander.
It's almost. That
and pronounce their last names differently.
Is this your segment or mine, mate?
Well,
Joe Danaher has been strongly linked now to Sydney after being loosely linked. It's the opposite of strongly. Benny, Essendon supporter, you're looking actually pretty morbid. Do you want
I've got
microphones?
Two microphones. I don't need two microphones. It's becoming apparent that it's seeming more and more likely. I don't know.
We're watching a man crumble in front of our eyes here, Jake.
No, I had an actual itchy eye before you asked the question. But
yeah, sure.
It's just getting worse. No, I don't know. I think if he wants, like I said, I've said it a couple of times. If he wants to go, I think he's doing a great thing and saying he wants to go this year so we can actually get something for him.
Yep.
Yeah. You've got to be honest with yourself. I do not want to see him go. I love Joe Danaher. I've been on him since day one. It took him a few years before he actually started getting a kick and everyone's like, he's no good. I was like, you wait, he's going to be a superstar.
And now he's going to be a superstar at Sydney.
Yeah, sounds like it. But I hope we can get some compensation.
And that'll help the Papley trade go through, which will mean that then you guys, will have two single-digit picks and you put them on the table and try and find
a bull
really gun midfielder, an A-grade midfielder, or you find a couple of B-pluses that can really... really bolster your stocks. Yeah. Not all doom and gloom, Ben. I don't care for Essendon, as you know. But there is a big silver lining in this for the Dons.
Yeah. How lucky have Sydney been with other mobs key forwards over the journey? Plugger, Kitchen, Barry Hall, Buddy Franklin, and now Joe Danaher. They're pretty much getting
Kirk Tibbett, Walter didn't go well. But
But they've pretty much gotten a generational key forward every 8 or 9 years while I've been alive.
Hands off Charlie Curnow would be my advice.
Yeah. Well, you just wait.
speaking of blokes that are going to be on planes soon, Dean Solomon was spotted on a plane. Dean Solomon was spotted on a plane with his Frio coaching PowerPoint pitch. A bit wordy. Rudy, I'm going to throw this one to you. Huge invasion of privacy, do you reckon, or just don't do it on a plane?
I would say probably don't do it on a plane.
Yeah,
it's public space.
Have you seen it? It's got like photos of like Frio players in like the anchor jersey and stuff.
He's gone to OG days.
Yeah.
You can see one of the tabs in the right hand corner was the actual lyrics to their theme song as well, which doesn't help the cause.
When I used to work at a pub that played the songs after every game. I worked there in 2015 when Frio won every year, and we had these knockoff versions. And the Frio song we had, it was 2.5 minutes long. So every Sunday, they'd play every Sunday and they'd win and I'd have a hangover and I'd have to listen to that awful, awful Frio song.
Was that
song.
How'd that one go? Or just
it's the Frio Heave Ho one, but it's not, it's like not quite it. Like it's just a bit, it's like the Aldi version.
No one needs that when you're working.
Aldi version. Not the rock one that everyone sings, though.
It's like, it goes like, pretty much, yeah. Two and a half minutes, like. Verse, chorus, I was no good man.
No.
Oh, it's finally stopped. Free! Oh, God.
Saying that song was a basket case, let's go to another basket case, the Gold Coast Suns.
Nice.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, some bad one.
No, about it. They just received another, couple of priority picks, one or two.
It looks like they're going to get pick two as well as pick one.
Pick two as well as pick one. What do we think, boys? Is it just, are we just giving them too much? Is this not the answer? They've already gotten to.
Well, I mean, history says draft picks don't work, doesn't it? In terms of, but maybe that's just how those clubs have then gone on and used their picks. Might be more to the point. But they need some talent. They need something quick. I think the Gold Coast. I think that their young talent's pretty good. Their stocks are with your Rankins and your Lukosius of the world and. And King, I think that there's enough there that if they can keep them, they'll be really good. But that's going to be the problem. So the short term needs to be, you hear the words of a Brad Crouch and a Brandon Ellis, you need to get them and probably a couple more, which you'll need to maybe deal pick one or pick two or both to get something that you can really set your watch to.
The only thing with those, I agree with that, but the only thing with those two people you've just mentioned, neither of those scream leadership to me as an older bloke, which I think is what they sort of need. You look at the other side of the coin with GWS, I think they picked the right guys to sort of mold this group, like your Heath Shaws and these
Brett
guys.
Brett Delidio,
perfect example.
Dill Buckley, as we heard. I think with giving them a priority pick there, like I've never seen a team more in need of a priority pick ever. They're the least talented team I think I've ever seen. Just get them pick one and two and get them that Rowell and Anderson bloke and you know, their best mates. Hopefully that can improve the culture a bit. I think I don't think they even need leadership yet. I just think they need to actually just set a cultural standard. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they're getting blokes like George Hall and Smith, who's not a great player, but by all reports, fantastic bloke. Just get some actual good blokes in there to make the joint nice to be at.
You might get punished for being a good bloke. You might get shipped off there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be good.
It's classic. That's just what happens when you're a good bloke. Finish last.
Speaking of good blokes, we've got...
No, I haven't got a segue for this. Just, this is just a genuine question to cap it off. Do you think the Birds of Tokyo were stiff not to get the grand final entertainment? Who have we got? We've got Paul Kelly.
Do we know? Paul Kelly, is it?
My man, Dean Lewis, is playing.
Dean Lewis?
And Tones and I. Dance Monkey.
What do you
and
Tones get together? I don't know. I actually don't know who that is.
What song do you, reckon Tones and I are going to play?
I think they'll play Dance Monkey.
I think they definitely will. What other songs have they got? Song.
I think it's only one person. Tones and I think it's only one person.
A bit of like a me, myself, and...
She's quite talented. Dean Lewis, though, that's a huge get. In my opinion.
I actually don't know either of those guys. I'm pretty sorry.
Cool dude Ben over here, man.
No, Richard, I feel bad. I should know.
You should. The Birds of Tokyo won't be there.
You got to start coming to the meetings.
You do.
That's me.
That's Jack's little dingers for 2019.
I'm running out of dingers.
A 2 week thing.
You got any bareback questions?
No bareback.
Settle.
That's the grand final. Just let me down.
Well, lads, it's come to the end of our final season show, let's call it, because we never say never, and we need to go around the room. We need to get some predictions. I want, from each of you, I want a winner, a margin, and a Norm Smith medal winner. And we'll start with Rudy.
Oh, right under the bus. GWS, 22. Stephen Canelio.
I'm going to go a little safer. I'm going to say GWS, 3 points, Taranto.
What about you, Jay? I was thought I was going to be the one going GWS as a bit of a difference.
Well, I haven't decided yet who I think's going to win, but...
You're a Richmond member, mate.
I am. I'm going to go with GWS, 12 points.
Two goals.
Jeremy Cameron.
He's going to have to kick six. Yeah. Well, Jesus, you've all gone GWS. I have to go...
You just tell us what you think, Ben.
I think Richmond by 5 points... It's going to be a scrappy last few minutes like it was in the GWS Collingwood game. And you can't go past... Yeah, the one who was robbed in 2017, I'm going to go Basher Hawley off the halfback.
Very good, very
good. I reckon it's going to be a kick after the siren. That's what I meant to say. I reckon it's going to be a kick after the siren. Wow. So win it or lose it for Richmond. And I reckon they're going to miss. It's going to be 4 points in front. They're going to be 4 points in front. Richmond going to miss after the siren by 3 points.
Imagine if this happens.
Crystal ball.
That's what I'm concerned about now.
Yeah.
All right, well, gents, here we are. The end of season 2019. It's all in the books. We watch with bated breath this Saturday to see what happens. Rudy, thank you very much for being a constant contributor to the Magoos community. We all love you here, so thank you very much.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you, Rudy.
Jack, really thanks for turning up when it suited you.
I came to a lot this year.
You did come to a lot this year.
Yeah. Hopefully more next year. We'll negotiate contracts later.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have a cricket edition coming up as well.
Yeah, look.
Tokyo.
Sky's the limit for us.
Tokyo 2020.
Yeah.
Ben, fantastic as always. Thank you very much for your unwavering dedication and support to the show with your equipment, your laptop and your house.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Occasionally in your house.
Occasionally in my house.
Thank you as well. I'd like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, Jay. You've been a fantastic host this year.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Magoo's listeners, for sticking by us for another season. Enjoy the grand final. If your team's playing, I hope that they win, unless you go for Richmond. And we'll be back sooner than you'll probably like. So share, subscribe on all the socials and stay tuned for what's next from the Magoo. So thank you very much again for tuning in.
God bless.
Catches.
Rudy, you got
bye.